grace to you, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How could God let him die? When God's own prophet was staying right there in the house with him, how could God just let the widow's son die? When, by God's own word through the prophet Elijah, she had taken Elijah in and provided for him, and God had promised through Elijah that that jar of flour and that jug of oil would not run out, how could God just let her soul die? God had a plan for that boy's death. A plan to do something even more important than keeping him alive. The plan was to bring the boy back to life through the word of the prophet Elijah. And so, not only bring the boy back to life, but confirm the faith of that widow who said, "Now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Why was that so important? Because to trust in the word of God's prophet is to conquer not only the death of the body, but also the death of the soul. To trust in the word of God's prophet is to vanquish sin and hell and death and every curse imposed by sin. God had a plan for death that day, a good plan, a plan of salvation and of life for the widow, for her son, for Elijah, for us too. The same is true in today's gospel. Sometimes in the gospels we see examples of faith that we can imitate, that we can follow, like the words right before today's gospel of that centurion who ran to Jesus, or sent his servants running to Jesus to ask him to heal his servant from afar, from a distance, without even having to go, just by saying the word, he knew it would be. Today we don't have an example of faith to imitate. We simply see our Savior in action. We see his compassion and his words, his deeds, his deeds that show us that he is trustworthy, because he is the Lord of life and death, the compassionate Lord who sees us in our grief, in our tears, in our weeping and suffering. This is all the truth. On the contrary, he comes to the aid of his people. We see the face of God in Jesus' actions today, and that's important. Lest we ever imagine that God is a God up in heaven who doesn't see, who doesn't care, who lets us go on in our tears without helping. Since God is in the person of his son, Jesus, we see God's actions in Jesus' actions and hear God's words in Jesus' words. We see the word of God's prophet doing what it has always done, creating life where there was only death, creating faith where there was unbelief, confirming faith in those who had no strength of their own to believe. We see the God who has a plan for death. Sure didn't look like it. On that day when they were carrying that young man's dead body out on a bier, on a funeral mat, in procession, leaving the gates of the city of Nain. Death is horrible enough when it takes an elderly person, but when it takes a young man and a widow's only son, it doesn't look like God cares at all. How could he let that happen? Why? Didn't he know how hard it for me or that sorrowful widow, or that mother? Something so terrible couldn't possibly be for the good of those who love God. How cruel, the devil whispers. He must not care. A good God wouldn't do that for you. But look again what the good God does. He sees the widow weeping. He sees the crowd mourning. See how he's moved by her tears. When he sees the dead man being carried out of the city, Jesus doesn't just go whistling by. He doesn't just shake his head too bad. He goes to her. He goes to her in her sorrow, and when he saw her, it says he had compassion on her. The devil is a liar. We know that. He's been a liar from the beginning. He's been a murderer from the beginning. And it's we, human beings, who are his accomplices in this. God did not plan death for the human race. The devil did. God is not responsible for death. We are. Sinners are. The soul that sins is the one who will die, God said. Ever since Adam and Eve, sinners have been blaming other people, even God himself, for our sins and for their consequences. But that's wrong. We are the sinners. God. But God has a plan to help sinners condemned to death by our sins. His plan to help doesn't involve preventing death. His plan to help doesn't involve removing death from the world. Not yet. Instead, his plan uses death. It twists death so that death must be forced to serve as God's slave to fulfill God's purposes. God sent his only Son into the world to save sinners, not by removing death, not yet, but by submitting. By submitting to the hatred of sinners. By submitting to the persecution of those who hated him and his gospel. By submitting to the punishment of suffering and the curse of death on the cross, Jesus has become the curse for us. Has made atonement for us, with our sins. Has paid for the sins of all sinners, and has won the gift of eternal life for all, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. How are we to believe in him? We see only death all around. We see the gospel being persecuted around the world. You see the Lutheran church in Pakistan burning to the ground as 8,000 people stood around and watched. This is what we see, the church being persecuted around the world and in our midst. We see the church tormented and battered, weeping, mourning. But look, what does Jesus say to the widow? And to the dead man, who had zero capacity to hear the words that were spoken to him, much less to obey them. Jesus said, young man, I say to you, arise. He arose. Just like that. And he started to speak, and Jesus gave it to his mother. The word of God is that powerful. The gospel of Christ is that mighty, that it turns death into life. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans. It is the gospel of Christ that calls out to dead sinners, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. And by the power of God, as a gift of the Holy Spirit, the dead arise. Those who were dead in unbelief This is exactly what Jesus is talking about in John chapter 5. This life-giving power of the gospel that the Father has entrusted to him as the judge of all, to him as the life giver. It's a little longer section in John 5, but listen to what he said. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. And all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. See, he says, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. That's you who were dead in sins and trespasses. You who were dead in unbelief, but have heard the word of Christ and have been brought to faith with him, have been brought to life with him. The word of Jesus has already visited your graves and has emptied them. You have passed from death to life. This is the verdict of Christ, the judge, that no matter how great your sins have been, no matter how unworthy you are, you get to spend eternity with God in heaven. Because whoever hears my word and believes who sent me has eternal life. This, my friends, is the forgiveness of sins that is yours right now through faith in Jesus Christ. And if your sins are forgiven, then you have eternal life. If your sins are forgiven, then you have access to God. You have been born again, raised from the dead, adopted as God's child. If your sins are forgiven, then death cannot harm you, and there is now no condemnation for you because you are in Christ Jesus. How? Not by this. Not by your doing or by your choice, but by faith in him, faith that he has given you, faith that he has worked in you by the almighty power of his word that gives life to those who were dead. You see why I will not speak like some people would require me to speak? How can I say that unbelievers already been forgiven, but are still going to hell? Forgiveness is something. If your sins are forgiven, then you are not going to hell. You will not die eternally. If your sins are forgiven, you are God's child. That's what forgiveness means. That's the gift that is yours through the water and the word. So that when you are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, this is the gift God gives to you: forgiveness, salvation, life, and adoption as God's children. This is what it means to be absolved when, in the name of instead by the command of Christ, I can be forgiven. Jesus keeps bringing the dead to life, and will keep bringing the dead to life until he returns. He does it by sending the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, to bring life to the dead, to empty spiritual graves, to take souls that were Satan's and bring them into God's kingdom. does that now, he'll not stop doing that until the last day comes. And then Jesus will do for us who believe in him something even greater than he did for the young man of Nain. Jesus raised that man back to life, but it's still a temporal life. A life with his mother, but a life that would end. When Jesus returns, he will not just do that. He will say the word. He will say, arise. His people will rise to a glorious life, an immortal life where mortality will be swallowed up with immortality. He will destroy death forever. On that day, he will take these mortal bodies and transform them to be like his glorious body. As he says in John's Gospel, an hour is coming, not has now come, but an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Today's gospel teaches us to trust in Christ, who is moved to compassion by our tears, by our trials, by our suffering. Who was moved to compassion to come and give himself as a sacrifice on the cross. To trust in Christ who entered our death-filled world to suffer death once for all, righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Today's gospel teaches us to trust in the word of Christ who comforts those who mourn, who strengthens those who are weak, who gives life to the dead, and who now uses death even now as part of his plan. Puts us to death daily through contrition and repentance, as he has raised us to life, as he uses death even now as a doorway to bring his children safely into his heavenly kingdom. This is God's plan for them. Now the words of the Apostle Paul are a fitting conclusion. To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.